Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the world.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, what a wonderful time it is to be alive in these days. Amen. A wonderful time, because every moment that we are alive, we have an opportunity to do the will of God. And that is what makes life precious, because we have an opportunity to do the will of God and to add something to our eternal story, which people in the world there hereafter can no longer do. Praise the Lord. But you see, now there was a time it didn't feel like that. I remember some time ago when I started really doing a lot of research on end time and understanding what was happening in the world with this mindset of, you know, what's happening in the end. And I'd spend a lot of hours doing research on my laptop and listening to things and, you know, reading things from far and wide, which really very few people would get to read. But I would be on my laptop almost the entirety of the morning up to late afternoon. Then I would go and find something to do, maybe take cappuccino and what, and something like that. So, and basically almost so many years, that was my life. Wake up, do that. At around 4, I go sit somewhere, chill. Then I come back home. If there is no football to watch, I just chill a bit and then start praying up to like 3 a.m. Then I go to sleep. Anyhow, so I remember thinking that time, seeing how far the kingdom of darkness had progressed in their advancement of their agenda, and how deep they were and almost unmovable, and how they had taken so many years building their structures. I'm talking about so many years. There's a guy who was the head of FBI in America called J. Edgar Hoover from the 1960s. The man said, I remember this quote from him. He said, there is a conspiracy so great that those who hear it will not even believe it's true. It's unbelievable. And yet it is true. That's what you're saying. A conspiracy. So now you dig into all those things. When I started digging into all the things about the Bilderbergs and all that, and then I was thinking, these guys are so far advanced, the Club of Rome. And by 1993, they had said what is going to be the final thing with which they are going to launch their push for one world government was going to be pandemics and climate change. Of course, they had started climate change earlier, much, much earlier, when they said there's going to be an ice age. If we do not change, the whole world is going to be covered with ice. Then the world started becoming hotter. Then eventually they said there is the ozone layer, which is, and I remember when we were young, we used to hear those things. There is ozone layer, which is peeling. It's a protective layer between the sun and us. So now, you know, then they told us if you cut Shaolin, like the sun is going to hit straight through your skull, because the ozone layer is removed. And it was all fake, and has been fake from beginning to end. Then afterwards they said, after Ice Age, they said global warming. Then I remember the first global warming conference in Switzerland. It snowed like blizzards of snow all across, and they were there to talk about global warming. So they changed it to climate change, because now that one is easier to explain. So anything that happens, they say climate change. If it's hot, like it has been in these past, you know, weeks, it's because of what? If it's very cold, it's because of what? If there is no rain, it's because of what? If there is a lot of rain, it's because of what? So now you see they have you either way. But anyway, my point is that, so when I read all those things, I was like, but God, the church is nowhere close to being ready. These guys are in full gear and they have control over almost all the world systems. There is nothing they don't have control over. And almost the financial systems, they had control over information systems. They had the ability to get something which is totally fake and make it a big issue just because they had control of the media. And the media gets it, picks it up, propagates it until eventually everybody who hears it starts talking about it as if it's true, yet it's fake. So now saying, where is the, you know, where do we run from these people? And now, of course, at the time, I was thinking that this is how it's going to end. When these guys have reached the crescendo and now we are in serious trouble, then Jesus will come and rescue us from them. And that sounded so nice at the time. Then, after some time, the Lord changed my theology. He says, you're not going anywhere until there is victory on earth. There is no running away from losers, I mean from the devil's crowd. And now you see, I saw so many people in, even end-time preachers in America, up to now, especially around 2018, 2020, they were predicting Jesus is coming back in 2026 and so on. And because they are studying the other side. They are not studying our side. Now that's the mistake I also made. I studied the side of darkness. And I saw how far advanced they are in preparing. And I know it's all about preparing the return of, for them, return of the Antichrist. So that they prepare the world for him properly. Then they roll it out for him and say, now we have all these clowns under, you know, iron fist. Now you can come and rule over them. And then they put in their reign of terror. Now they studied it from that side. Now when I started studying it from this side, I realized God had his own plans. Only it became a bit difficult to see how it, I mean, how is he going to do it? Okay, I know he's God and he can do anything, but somehow it looks like he was taking his time, taking his sweet time. Now I remember when Obama first came up as a possibility of being a candidate, I think that was around 2006, 2007, and then I'm thinking, there's Obama, then there's, on that side there's Hillary Clinton, I know she's wicked. Actually, I used to call her Hillary from hell. Other people call her Kidare because everybody who quarrels with her dies and commits suicide. And there are even memes about it. When she's telling somebody, I'm going to give you a suicide. But that's what actually does. Anybody who quarrels with her commits suicide somehow. So anyway, everybody. So I'm thinking, then we are coming out of 8 years of George Bush, whom they had somehow convinced us was such a terrible person, because we still believed the media. And I was actually convinced that Bush is such a terrible person. So now somehow I also got caught up in the Obama thing. Then the guy comes. Then I see the wickedness of the highest order, like total wickedness. Then I say, now we are hooked. Because the person who was supposed to save us from Hillary is even worse than her, if that's possible. Is it possible for somebody to be worse than her? So I'm thinking, now we are really cooked. So we go through it. So, man, I really have, you know, because I know, because the reason this is so important to me, and now you think it's just being interested in American politics. I know how this works. And this works in this way. America is different from Europe. You see, eh? Now, Europe wants to make America like Europe. In America, it's possible for somebody to be poor today and be a billionaire. In Europe, it is impossible. All the money belongs to the aristocrats, their families who own it. There is nobody who comes up like the other day, you migrated from South Africa, like Elon Musk, and now you have $400 billion and you're the richest man in the world. That does not happen in Europe. It only happens in America. In Europe, they will make sure, because they are aristocrats, and that's actually why America broke away from them. Because at that time it was clear, if you are not one of the lords, the earls, the barons, they have titles they give each other of, you know, old money. There's no new money in Europe. That is true of France, that's true of UK, mostly that is true of Germany. No old money. There is no such thing that you invented some tech thing and suddenly now you're a billionaire. That does not happen in Europe. It happens in America. And now you see that aristocratic world thing is actually the system of the devil, because it blocks every form of self-expression. Now you're there, as long as you go there, they create some kind of social system where they will make sure you don't become too poor to live. You have some food stamps and what, the city council flat and so on, but you never become rich. Wealth belongs to certain people. And that's how it is. That's how it is. That's how it's ever going to be. That's why they are the continent which is going to introduce the Antichrist, because that's the system he wants to bring, where the people who have a covenant with him are the ones who are going to be in control of the wealth and therefore of the power. And they do not, and the thing about them is they never show you who they are. They all work in the background. They control the politicians, they control everybody, and you see people who appear to have power, but they have nothing. They're just servants of those, you know, old money. And they do not allow new money. Anyway, so, that's why it was so important when I'm looking at the world stage, that America, which has a system which is closer to God's system, where you can be, you know, where he says, I picked you up from what? From the dust and made you to sit among the princes of your people. You know, that's possible, more possible in America than it is in Europe. Because in Europe, it is closed. It's like being in a ceiling. You can't go beyond that ceiling. If you jump, you'll hit your head and come back down. So anyway, but Europe has always raised the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. And the next verse, it says, that he may seat him with the princes of his people. Not possible in Europe as it is. And maybe even ever, it's not going to be possible. Because their system has been done in a certain way. But this is very possible in America, where somebody is zero today and big the next day. So that's why I was following American politics, because it offers something closer to what we believe in. Anyway, so then I look at Europe and I see how the continent is going to usher in the Antichrist and how they are preparing for him and how these systems have been in place for ages and ages. And the people who disagree with them ran away. Some ran to New Zealand, some ran to Australia, some ran to America. They went in different places. Some went to South Africa. But because there you arrive there, like the way those Dutch and Germans did, arrive in Cape Town and you see a very beautiful land and nobody is telling you can't be rich because you do not belong to a certain family. So you create your own aristocracy. So now, but in Europe, it is just like that. And the seat of the Antichrist. And they have eaten people's money like no problem. That continent has been at the forefront of robbing people of their money more than anything. You know, when Gaddafi went and lent some of their country's money, and he had $150 billion invested in Europe, mostly in France and in Italy. Now, when you invest money in them, they don't want to pay you back, because in their mind, you're not supposed to be rich. You're supposed to belong somewhere. So what do? They go and get some. You imagine you invested $150 billion. And they know they can use 100 million to stir up some people in your country. Then they come and take you off and they steal your 150 billion. That's what they have done that all the time. All the time. So now what they did, as soon as the Arab Spring came, they get their money. You said, bring the money, come and put it in Libya, take off Gaddafi, and then they say they are frozen. The other word for frozen is stolen. And they have stolen the money, and they do it all the time. All the time. Now, even right now, they are trying to do the same to Russia. You know that. Only that Russia is a nuclear superpower, and they might find it a bit difficult to do that. And Putin is not playing games. But what they did, as soon as the war started in Ukraine, they froze or stole, you see, all $350 billion of Russian assets in Europe. Frozen, stroke, stolen. And even the money which was not for Russia, which belonged to Russians, like which belonged to their oligarchs and people who were there, then they would say you're connected to Putin, so they take all your wealth. So they were taking wealth of, you know, yachts of people and what, and houses and property. Stealing, just plain stealing. Now, the reason they don't want the war to end is Russia is going to say, bring back our money. Now, they were hoping that they defeat Russia, and then they say, we are going to use this money to rebuild Ukraine. And guess who is going to rebuild Ukraine? Their companies. And that will be stolen money. You see. But you see now Putin, of course, knows. And he's not going to let them say. But they do that all the time. Now, seeing even the son of Now they've done that to Africa. You have no idea. Now, seeing the son of the president of Equatorial Guinea, his vice president, but the son of the president. So he went and was blowing. Equatorial Guinea is like a powerful producer of oil. And very few people. Just a few million people. A couple of million people. But very rich in oil. So all the money is invested in the ruling class. And the son of the president is just having a... So he had, you know, mansions in the French, you know, Riviera, the Côte d'Azur, in Malibu, in California. You know, he had yachts all over the, you know, the Mediterranean and so on. So when they when they see you've brought all, they wait for you to bring it. Bring it here, bring it here. The guy even had a glove, which was worn by Michael Jackson, a golden glove, which was worth 250. I don't know. It was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just a glove. And he had bought a lot of even Michael Jackson memorabilia and so on. So they wait for you to bring it to Europe. Bring. Then what do? They started an investigation of corruption. And then they froze. And they just took it. They just steal. They are thieves. Thieves. They just steal your things. Now, if they were saying you stole it from your countrymen, so we are freezing it and giving it back to Equatorial Guinea, they don't give it back to Equatorial Guinea. They freeze it and then they send you back. Then they even put sanctions on you. You can't come and so on. And they take all your wealth. And they've been doing that. They've tried that with everybody. Now they're even trying to do it with Elon Musk. They said that they are investigating him in Germany for election interference. And if he's found guilty, they are going to confiscate his assets there, worth billions. The trouble with that is that Europe can't survive without America. And the man who controls America is Elon Musk, is right next to him. So the other day he announced that's German which was saying that. So the other day he announced he's putting heavy tariffs on German cars going to America. Now that is the end of the German economy, because it's only in America where people buy cars, because they are that, you know, a new brand has come out. Europeans are broke. Like you see, everyone wants the American market. 320 million people, or people who actually at some stage have purchasing power. Now, put tariffs. Now that might not work with Putin, but they try. But it might not work with Elon Musk, but they try. But it will work with Africans. But you see now some clever African thieves, like the ones we have here, they don't go to Europe, because that becomes an incentive for them to take you off power. If you have 50 billion invested there, they will say, we can only use 10 million to take you off. So they will take you off and they steal the 50 billion. You see, eh? So now you don't give them an incentive. It's like this, if you watch these crime channels, these people go and do insurance that if I die, my wife gets this amount of money. And you are given an incentive to kill you. And eventually they kill like almost all. Insurance companies come and say to you, you know, in case what, make sure your loved one is okay. Then the loved one is, you're broke. Then the loved one realizes if you die, she has $250,000 waiting. Then meanwhile, she is no longer a loved one. Now your marriage is on the rocks. So now it becomes an incentive. And it's the number one incentive. So now, that's the thing. Now, you see this, like even these thieves here, these virtuous thieves of ours here. They know that they don't invest in Europe. Don't go there. They will steal your money and kill you. That's what they've been doing. So many years. Now, but you see, Babylon is falling. Babylon is falling. And now, by the way, it is really falling because everything they put together, climate change things and what, is just to keep the money among the aristocracy. So they come up with climate change, regulation. You can't do this. You can't build here. You can't do the other. What? And what's the purpose of that? Just to keep the money among those who have it. Because money is such a precious thing, it cannot be trusted with common people as far as those people are concerned. So they want those other people to just work your job, retire at the age of 65, have enough money to, after you've paid your mortgage for 40 years, have enough money to maybe travel here and what, and you know, I don't know, maybe go someplace in Africa, get a girl half your age or a quarter of your age, and some crap like that. And then you appear that, you know, you're some, but the truth is you have nothing. Now you see, like you've been a servant of a system all your life. There is no hope as long as you're in that system. that at some stage you are going to break free and actually have wealth. Now you see, now we are beginning, because that wealth is held in covenant. You see, now we are beginning to open our brains to what we call wealth. Because I hope so. Because we are thinking that people have now stopped thinking in the here and now. Because the covenant of God in the end time can only manifest when the wealth is in the hands of his people. As long as the wealth is in the wrong hands, there is nothing. The covenant cannot be manifested. Everything, the end time cannot come the way God intended it when the wealth is in the wrong hands. Praise the Lord. So that's why there is that financial Babylon. You see, the book of Revelation chapter 18 talks about Babylon has fallen. But you see, Babylon was a very long time ago after Nebuchadnezzar. It was never built again. And actually the prophet said it shall never be built again. But now it says Babylon has fallen. Now it is a financial system. And because I used to say that, you know, where all the wealth and the riches, now that is crumbling very fast. I'm telling you, for instance, now Russia, the plan for Europe, the usual thing, the things they do all the time. You know, those people are so wicked, by the way. Because they even threw Russia out of the Olympics. Now these are just athletes who are going to compete. Threw them out of Olympics. Then they threw Russian athletes out of tournaments. Because they want to steal money. Like professional thieves. And that's how they are. If you know how much all these systems which they created here to steal money from the Congo. You see where they come and take the Congo and the king of Belgium says, this is my territory and everything in here is. And then they make people work, and those who rebel, they cut off their arms. They were doing that. So there were so many people in Congo those days whose arms were off. Anyway, so he says, Babylon the Great has fallen. He's fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Go to verse 14. It says, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more. Now this, by the way, is happening now. You know, the other day I was seeing the World Health Organization. The leader of the World Health Organization, that's Ethiopian man called Tedros, was lamenting and says the World Health Organization is crumbling, is collapsing, because America has withdrawn its money. Because of that whole you said thing. But let me tell you these guys, those people there, once they take control of America, the Europeans, with fools like Obama, they do a lot of havoc. In 2014, Nigeria was the third fastest growing economy in the world, behind China and Qatar. Third fastest, 2014. It was going to be the first black African success story, because they claim South Africa. Nigeria had overtaken South Africa. It's still ahead of South Africa as an economy. But had overtaken South Africa, and they were growing very fast. Then Obama comes and tells Goodluck Jonathan, who was a born-again president, comes and tells him that he wants him to promote homosexuality. Goodluck Jonathan says, not a chance. Not me. I have no interest in promoting homosexuality. Then you said, funded Boko Haram rebels, funded rebels from... This was in the American Congress recently. I was watching it. They fund rebels, they fund, you know, terrorists, and they come and they destroy the Nigerian economy. And now when you know that, how do you know that they are funding something? When it's the top news on CNN. The Chibok girls, CNN, and they show people there, oh man, you know, rescuing the girls. And it is all crap. And they destroyed Nigeria. Now Nigeria, which was moving at a fast speed, now it went back to its corruption and its what? Like it was going very fast. Third fastest, behind China and Qatar, 2014. Obama destroyed it. They were sponsoring terrorists in Mali, sponsoring terrorists. Man, those people, by the way, let me tell you. Now, that's why it was important for me. You have no idea. I stayed up, I watched. That's why it was important for me, for America to be severed away from Europe. Because Europe does not have the money, but they want to have the control of American resources. And as long as they had presidents like Biden and Obama, they had control over it. To propagate the Antichrist, you know, thing upon all the earth. But now America pulls out, World Health Organization. You remember when they were talking about that pandemic, World Health Organization pandemic treaty, where countries sign over and say that if World Health Organization declares a pandemic, like nations have no authority to stop. It comes from WHO and they control. So they do not come and have to come and talk to your president. No. They have total control as long as there is a pandemic. And you know, they came this close to signing it. I was following, but you know, the people stood in the way, African countries said, no, we are not going to sign that thing. And even Americans with Biden were powerless. And I was seeing even conservative Americans thanking Africans, saying, thank you very much for resisting the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. Because it was going to be straight from the devil. You think COVID was bad? Now COVID would look like Sunday school in comparison. Like they lock you up, you have no rights whatsoever. They had, now you see, they had planned central bank what? Digital currencies. All plotted in Europe, central bank digital currencies. Now CBDC. Now the other day, Europe announced that they are going to introduce CBDC. Good for them. But you see, now they are doing it from a place of defeat. Like they are not in control now, but they don't want to give up. So they are like, you know, going down fighting. You know, those people are going down fighting because they've lost control of everything. And you see now when it happens in the spirit, certain things happen in the spirit, and now these people have no control because that's the only place where. Now, then I was looking and saying, now all the time that I was very worried, these people are so far ahead. But you know what kept me hopeful? And the Lord gave me this scripture. Because I was saying, Lord, but these people are so far ahead. When, how, what chance do we have to even look at the church now? We are busy into like, and these people are so far advanced that what hope do we have to ever catch them? And then he gave me that scripture of what? Of when he sent angels to frustrate Pharaoh's chariots when Israel were moving very slowly through the Red Sea. So he tells them, walk. And of course, they have children and what and so on. And they are walking through the Red Sea. And Pharaoh is pursuing them with chariots. So God comes and sends angels and they take off the wheels of the chariots and they frustrate them. Then they break down and what? And he just messes them up to slow them down. And then even the Egyptians said at that time that let us flee from Israel because their God is fighting for them. They knew it. But you see, the command from Pharaoh had said, go and bring them. But now when they entered into the sea, when it was still dry land, and they saw what, he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Now this is what he gave me. He said, don't worry. Like you see, they seem to be moving so fast, but the wheels will be taken off and they will slow down. But then even then, now that was, Trump comes, then he tries to do his first term and what. Then I'm thinking, he's going to do so many things in his second term. Then the second term doesn't materialize. And then COVID comes. And then now I'm seated there at home, 3 months within. Man, you are forgotten. Eh? But the devil, man, like the devil is, you've forgotten what it was like sitting at home there. Now, I imagine what it's like for people. So you sit there for 3 months, not moving. And then I was saying, but God, okay, now, where is any hope here? Then he gave me Isaiah 60. Rise and shine, for your light has what? Has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, you're saying, the darkness, now in this period of darkness, when the darkness, whatever, is when the glory, when there is darkness, is when the glory shines, isn't it? I remember I've attended some games. I attended some games, you know, these, whatever, when I was a sports journalist, so I was covering some games. And I'm waiting for the opening ceremony. And it's in summer. So it takes long to get dark. So like 9, there's nothing. But they are waiting for the darkness to start the games. Because all the beautiful lights and what can are useless during the day. You see, you have to wait for darkness to show you beautiful. So they waited 9:30 when the darkness started coming in. Then the opening ceremony started and the beautiful lights. Then I realized that we need darkness to appreciate light. Amen? Because, imagine you have all these beautiful things and it's midday. You're wasting your time. Nobody's going to see you. So anyway, I realized that the darkness shall cover the earth. Deep dark. And now, this was deep darkness during COVID. Where I have known they are planning this from 2017. I saw them even the whole simulation of it. The John Hopkins University, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and all those people. They did a simulation of what if there is a virus and we have to lock down people. That was 2017. So I knew they were planning it. I know they don't just do these things. There is no what ifs. They are planning it. So then I see it happening in 2020. Now the other day I was seeing, guess who is laying off 2,000 employees because Trump cut off their money? John Hopkins University. And I was like, yes. Like, because these people have tormented us. Like, I'm telling you that they really tormented us. Now you see they are moving slowly. Like they can't, there are things they cannot do. They will try to put up some resistance, but their resistance is because in the spirit, God has moved now. You know, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. When the enemies are scattered, it doesn't mean they will run away without a fight. But they are scattered. That's the truth. They are scattered. And when you look, you really see scattering. World Health Organization complaining. They cannot whatever. All climate change agendas, even those who had put up things here in Kampala, climate change and what, they are broke. Now, there are people whom I know who were activists for Visiaga here. I know them. They were getting a lot of money. Guess what they are doing now? Broke. Amen? And, man, when I see it, I'm like, this is what we've waited for. How we've waited for moments like this. Like, where? Because those people, imagine when you know those are putting $42 million going into schools, converting young boys into homosexuality, and you're powerless to do anything because they have money. Amen? But you see, Babylon falls. Babylon falls. And now suddenly, all the things in which they were in control. Now, when you look at all the things they've been doing here and there, what? Experiments, what? You know? And I'm sure you've been following some of these things, some of you people. Transgenderism. You wait and see. Do you know if that woman, Kamala Harris, had become pregnant, just 4 years, not even 8, 4, there would be so many transgenders? There would be like, but now it has been destroyed just by saying, if you want transgender operation, pay for yourself. Simple. No government. But they were spreading money here. Now for us, they hadn't started transgender because they had first introduced VCAG. So they can't bring university what? Education before they do what? Secondary. Now, the money would be there for people. My God, Babylon has fallen. And now let me tell you, it has really fallen. Your wits, because how do you know that? You know the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, or out of trial, or out of tribulation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So they are reserved under punishment. Even before their judgment, there is punishment. I'll give you an example. Those people started that, pushed Russia to start that war in Ukraine. Now, guess what? In the 3 years that they have been fighting, Russia overtook Germany to become the fourth largest economy in the world. In their minds, they were going to bleed Russia, and Russia becomes dry,
And then Russia surrenders. But now, imagine the person you're trying to bleed is bleeding you. And then you know God is keeping you under what? Punishment. Because now, when they started the war, Germany was the fourth biggest economy. Japan was the fourth biggest economy. After, of course, America and China and Germany. Now, Russia moved somehow. When they are fighting from sixth or seventh to now fourth, they overtook Japan. I said Germany, but it's actually Japan. They overtook Japan as the fourth largest economy in the world. And they actually, their currency has become stronger. Everything is... Now, it seems like that's real punishment, because I remember when that man went into the American Oval Office, that Ukrainian drug addict. You know, he actually is. The man sniffs cocaine. You can even see him. I'm not just talking to belittle him. It's true. It's true. He's a drug addict. He's a homosexual. He's everything you despise. By the way, I wish you knew the disarray which is among homosexuals here in Uganda. You think it's a joke, but it's not. Some of them are Twitter people. What? Which is why we? Even the speaker who they sanctioned because she passed the anti-homosexuality law. When Trump won, she was celebrating. Yes, now they are going to remove the sanctions because it was about homosexuality. That she stole Mabati. What crap is that? Who is a bigger thief than those Europeans? As I have already shown you. They are busy. Now the plot for Russia, bleed Russia. Russia surrenders, take Russian assets. $350 billion worth of them invested in Europe. Not working. Between when that drug addict went to the White House and made a fool of himself two Fridays ago, and now Russia has taken a lot more territory, has captured a lot more Ukrainian soldiers, and now Ukraine is the one which is begging for a ceasefire. So God is, these people who are planning the Third World War, and this is what they do. Why do they want a war in Ukraine? Because they want the land. Ukraine has one of some of the most fertile land, a breadbasket of the world. Now those aristocrats of Europe want a control over it. It's not supposed to go into the wrong hands. Praise the Lord. Now we are in a place where there is an actual wealth transfer. Amen? Because this Babylon has fallen. Okay, it's falling slowly. Some of you are waiting for the what? Those days we used to say that Mulinda Bigambo, when the movie has ended, that you're still seated because you're waiting for the credits. So now some of you are still waiting to see the credits before you know Babylon has fallen. So let's go back to Revelation 18. It says, "The fruit that you so longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more." Go ahead. "The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." Now that is financial Babylon collapsing. "And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such a great riches have come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning." Now this is figurative, because this is a crashing of stock markets and property prices and things like that. "Saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads." By the way, let me tell you something. You see these property prices which you go and see, and you say you want to buy a house, and they tell you a piece of land here in Uganda, and they tell you millions of dollars. And you're thinking, I could buy land five times bigger in America or somewhere. And then they will tell you, yeah, lousy land in Colorado with even terrible roads. They'll say, this one will bring $5 million. And they talk, and they look at them and say, what kind of clowns are these? Now, let me tell you. Do you know what happened in America after that man there started doing his dodge things, Elon Musk, and you saved money and all that and so on? property prices have tumbled. Now even normal people can buy property. Because you are going to go to buy a piece of land, you're going to buy a piece of land with money which you've earned. Somebody is going to buy a piece of land with money which they've stolen from government. I'm talking even about here. So now don't worry. When the system changes even here, Babylon is falling even here, by the way. It's not falling there all the time. Like when the system changes, all these lands which they tell you $5 million, $5 million what? And the Ita one. They even show you, have you seen those people the way they do land? Hey, they even have a cartape measure. You can look at these guys. Do they know what $2 million? You know, but you see, it's because of corruption. So you can't compete with people who are pulling out of what? State resources. Now, when all that tumbles, all those pieces of land, you're the one who is in whatever, who is in real estate. Isn't that so? Where do these people come who get what? This, and now, if you don't want to buy, it's okay. Somebody who works in ministry of something is going to go and what? And buy. For you there in faith. Anyway, no, not that faith. But my point is that now I was seeing property prices in Washington. See, people are saying it was very important, very expensive. No longer. Now also you go and make money and buy out of money you've made, not which you've stolen. By the way, people, let me tell you, you think, you know, when I grew up, you knew that Bazungu, there are no ghosts. That ghosts are here. Man, there are ghosts. They found 30 million ghost people on Social Security, who are getting Social Security money, some of whom are supposed to be 350 years old. And somebody is drawing that money. So ghosts are not only here. People used to think Bukalabanda on the way. Yeah, but corruption is everywhere. Let me tell you now. Now, when they take off all that, suddenly things start making sense. There is going to be a time when you go to buy a piece of land and the price they tell you makes sense. Amen? So wait for Babylon to fall. Because when Babylon falls, wealth just transfers. By the way, wealth doesn't go anywhere. It stays here. Wealth cannot vanish. It is always here. That's why it goes from one hand to the other. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so they threw dust on the heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, that great city in which all world ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she's made desolate. Have you ever gone to some of those places? Now, like you go to and you see the yachts which are there and so on. Man, you go to places and a hotel room, $15,000 a night. And then the people who are there, his yacht is there. What's the spelling, pronunciation of that word? Yacht? You're giving me katwa. Somebody is saying yacht. Okay. They are, you know, big ones, like huge ones like this. 15,000, they are asleep there. They are, you know what? And man, you see that world. And now that's old money. Nobody's, you're not allowed inside that sort of wealth. You can't say that I'm a tech inventor. I invented some technology thing and now I've joined this class. Not in Europe. That works in America. In Europe, you're either old money or zero money. Anyway, so those great ships by the sea, I say that because you say those great, they threw dust on their heads and cried out weeping, wailing, saying, alas, that great city in which all world ships on the sea or yachts on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she's made desolate. Go ahead. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Now that means that it is not just loss of wealth, it is also gaining of wealth. When it moves from here, it goes somewhere. Amen? Wealth does not vanish. Praise the Lord. It is there. It moves from one place to another. So now when it says, the Lord has avenged you on her, that means that all these people who stole
our money.
Monday is this, like when you get into the depth of these things, you can even get, there is a system of trade, like, which is so set in such a way that if you are from Africa, you're not supposed to go, like don't waste people's time. You see, eh? Who do you think you are? Like, and the system has been put in place that for you, you plant your, you know, your cocoa and you send it to Switzerland. They will make the chocolate and they will send you back chocolate, which you will buy at 10 times the price you sold them the what? The cocoa. And Switzerland does not have even one single tree of cocoa, but they have the best chocolate. Bajog. Like not one single tree of cocoa, but they have Swiss chocolate. Then they even show you when it's flowing like this. Then the ladies are like, yeah. Now, the system has been put in such a place that you can't. Now, God has to tumble that system. And the world is going to change. Now, what you're seeing now is like the outskirts of the real thing. It comes down suddenly. Pam, and those aristocratic systems which have been put there to ensure that you have to be old money to have any money. All gone. Okay, avenge you now. Now it says all your apostles and prophets. That means it's coming to what? Coming to someone near you. Probably you. Praise the Lord. It's coming to the church. That's what it means. Now it says, go ahead. Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea. Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Go ahead. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. These are things, the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were great men of the earth. For by sorcery, all these people have their worth by covenant. Okay? Demonic, they have very deep demonic covenants that have sustained their worth for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. It says, for by sorcery all the nations were deceived. Amen? That's the end of that chapter. Is it? And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain of the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, the vengeance comes. Now, I am happy that the coming of the Lord is not in 2026. Because if he came, we would miss on this movie. The movie is just beginning. Praise the Lord. We have to watch this movie and be partakers in it. And first enjoy it. Okay? And then when we are on top and we are totally in control, then the Lord will say, okay, I think now you can come and what? Praise the Lord. Now, that is the truth. Now, the people who are preaching that thing of God is coming to take us away and what? Do you know what happened to them? They died. They died. Especially those who were of influence. Amen? They died. One of them is a man I used to like a lot called Ivan Baxter. For him, he had his calculations and somehow it was, see you, 2026. The clouds will split and the Lord will come. The Lord didn't come, but he went to be with the Lord. Now you see, like when let me tell you this, when God is shifting from here to there, and you stay in the old thing which you knew, because we also thought that at some stage, and you stay in the old thing which you knew, you go and be with the Lord. Because you are going to make people not aspire for great things. Because now we are aspiring for serious worth. Praise the Lord. For what? But now you have to learn something about worth. There's no worth without covenant. Amen? In the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. If you want to survive and pay rent and have a house and what? It is okay. But there is no real worth without a covenant. Praise the Lord. There is a covenant of worth which people enter into, and then they enter into a place of worth. In Genesis chapter 28, start from verse 14. It says, And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone. And 28. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. Start from, I think, verse 10. 10. Now Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there at night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Go ahead. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Praise the Lord. Now he says, I will not leave you until what? Now, when we talk about great wealth, I want you to see that this is Bible prophecy. Praise the Lord. It has to come to pass. And we are the people. Amen? God is not going to go and get other people who are more deserving than us. No, we are the people. And Bible prophecy has to come to. Praise the Lord. Now, if you stop thinking survival and start thinking wealth, and start thinking covenant, actually, you'll see how it transfers. That has happened before. And let me go ahead. Okay, he says, but just hold it. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, some of you, of course, have things which you know God spoke. He might not have spoken to you clearly, as you know, but there is something which he who started a good work in you, as it says in Philippians 1:6. You know, will not what? He who started a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Okay. So now, there's something which, a good work which was started in you. And it has to involve great wealth. Praise the Lord. Great what? Now, the thing here is for us to wash, go back to the previous verse where we were. To wash our heads of these barriers that we set up in our mind of wealth means this. Because those barriers are set up by our circumstances, the circumstances in which you've grown and you've lived. And it sets up something in you. Now, when God wants to come and invade you with something big, there are those things I call strongholds, which stand in the way in your mind. You can't think beyond this. And God is saying that just open. Wash your mind out, clean it out, and let me put something new, and then, you know. Anyway, so it's, I will not, until I've done what I have spoken to you. Go ahead, verse. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Okay? And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Go ahead. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that place, of that city, had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. In other words, I will serve the Lord. Okay? If you will do this for me. Now he's making a vow. You know, some people don't understand that God takes these vows very, very seriously. You see, you can say things in the heat of a moment. But once you make it as a vow, God takes it seriously. I remember one time I met a guy whom I knew from way back. this guy, I knew him for one thing. He was a ladies' man. Like, you would see him with a different woman every day you see him. And some Rwanda guy, tall like this. So one day I was seated somewhere. That was long ago. Now, a lot more recently, I was seated somewhere, then I see the man. Then the guy comes and greets me. Hey, praise the Lord. So I look at him and laugh. Because I'm remembering the other guy. Then I look at him and laugh. And I say, amen. Then he says, now I got born again. I said, what? He said, I got born again. So I just took time and asked him, how did it happen? Then he told me that, you see, that time when I knew you, soon after, not long after, he got diabetes, type 1 diabetes. So he had to move with a needle every day to check his blood sugar, and then whatever, then check his blood sugar. So someday you eat a sweet because your blood sugar is low. In other days you take what? Insulin because it's high. Like that's really like, that's hell. Huh? So you, and if it goes very low, you can die. So you have to have like a sweet or a toffee in your pocket all the time. Anyway, so he said that he suffered so much with that thing. Then his sister is born again. And she was preaching to him the gospel and saying, why don't you get born again? Then one day he just said, if the Lord will heal me from diabetes, I'll get born again. Then the guy said, after a few days, he noticed the blood sugar was stable. He went, phew, tests, no more stable. So he went to a doctor. The doctor said, this has to be something wrong. But you know, you carry your, what? Your insulin and your toffee. Hmm? Just in case. But one week, 2 weeks, 1 month, no more. Then the guy realizes God had fulfilled his end of the bargain. Then the sister told him that you promised God, if he heals you, you are going to get born again. So he says, the truth is, I promised God that. And he got born again. Now, you say something like that, and you just say it, and God takes it very seriously. Like, you might just be saying it in the heat of the moment. You're in a place and you say, God, if you tassa me here, I'm going to do ABC. He is listening and he takes it serious and he will tassa you, and then you wait to see if you are going to fulfill your end of the bargain. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, so the gentleman told me, now, you know, yeah, that is a long past story now. You know, it takes soda, drinks its bread, and so on. Anyway, so he said, so that if it goes verse 20, he says, if you will, now he knows the Lord is there. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. Go ahead. So that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. In other words, I'll serve God. Go to the next verse. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Now, he has entered a covenant with God. Keep me, bring me back, I will serve you, and everything that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And he has entered into a covenant. Of course, there are some fools who say that tithe is Old Testament doctrine, is the law. This is not the law. Who told him about tenth? This was before Moses. This was almost 400 years before Moses. And he's talking about a tenth. And then he made a vow before him. Now, later, in chapter 32, and verse, I think 9, 32, verse 9, 4 chapters later, says, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Go ahead. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, but now I have become two companies. He crossed with just a stick and made a vow before God that if you look after me and give whatever you give me, I will give you a tenth of it. And in mind, when I crossed this Jordan, I had only staff, that's it. But now I have become two companies, praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that I can't complete this now, I mean the whole, but I want you to know this, that there has to be a covenant. Amen? If you want to get real wealth, there's got to be a what? And you say, this is what I'm not talking even about tithe. Because you know this was more than tithe. He says, the Lord will be my God. Okay? And that means that I will serve you. You will be my God. The Lord is Jehovah. Will be my God. That means I will serve you. Now, there are places, of course, now I can't go into it, because, but where you understand that people entered a covenant with God, and then he released word for them. And it's all about covenant. Glory to God. Now, you think you have nothing? Jacob had a stick. End of story. Amen? So God does not need raw material to get you somewhere. Jacob says, I crossed this Jordan with just a staff. Enkoni. And now I have become two companies. Praise the Lord. You know the story of how that happened. Now, regardless of where you are, there is nobody here who can say just has a staff. Nobody. You have more than that. So you're better off than what Jacob was. But God made him two companies. And by two, you can make two companies mean anything. It can mean actual companies. Group of companies. Praise the Lord. You can make it mean anything. But it, you have, now, when you make the vow, don't play games, because God does not play games with vows, by the way. You proclaim something in a place of a vow, and he has heard you. And then he says, when you make a vow, hurry to do. God does not delight in fools. He calls them fools who make vows and not what? Because you see, people get there and they get excited. And then somehow it's so easy to forget, like what he says in Deuteronomy 8, 18, where he says that what? Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who does what? Who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as this day. Now, I'll end with this. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you wealth, to establish his prophecy, his Bible prophecy, of wealth transfer. Amen? To establish his Bible prophecy of what? Wealth transfer. Now, we are going to start talking about... we're still talking about wealth, by the way. I want to plant this seed properly in your head. So, you understand that covenant wealth. You people are somewhere. You're just one vow away from seeing the masses of God unleashing. Because the wealth is coming from there. It's coming. It has to come somewhere. So it is those who have prepared themselves will receive it. Amen? There is no question of if. It is definitely going to happen. Because it is a prophecy of the Bible. And it has to happen. Praise the Lord. So, now, when you know that it is all about eternity. So you vow, I'm going to do this and this, and I'm building an eternal kingdom. You see, eh? Then a lot of it is for you to enjoy. Amen? Like, God does not muzzle the ox while he treads the grain. Praise the Lord. There are people who are experts at muzzling them, even themselves. They don't spend on themselves. Somebody I was telling the other day, that's go and spend money on yourself. Because these are some people who don't spend money on themselves. And you have, it's different if you don't have it. But if you have it, go and spend it. You're muzzling the ox while it's treading the grain. Because you are the one who, God is doing something powerful with you. But while he's doing it, he wants you to also have a nice time. Because he said, do not muzzle the ox. Then Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 9, is it the ox God is concerned about? Says, no, it's us. So, there are people who might know who are givers. They give. They will get, then they give. Get, then give. There's somebody whom I one time told that, because the partnership, they come give partnership and what? Then the person said, just mentioned at some stage that they don't have DSTV at home because it's very expensive. I said, what? Are you kidding me? Why, when are you going to spend money on yourself? Okay, you know, there are some people who don't need to be reminded to spend money on themselves. Eh? This is for just a few people. This is for just a few people. Eh? Where somebody is actually doing something powerful, powerful, and like, but they, at no one stage do they. I remember one time I told somebody, when was the last time you went for a holiday? Because I know he has the money. You know, we are busy doing this. Busy. No. Go and spend money on yourself. The other day I asked, when was the last time you went to a spa? And I'm asking when they brought for me a seed. Amen? Because you look at somebody and they are busy. I said, no, you're a lady. Go and put in yourself cash. And look like what? Like your means. Like, by the way, you think that's a small thing with gold, but it's not. Because an ox is trading the grain, and it's hungry, and you put something on its mouth. And he says, don't do that. If it's trading the grain, let it eat as it trades. Praise the Lord. Of course, this is just a message for a few people. Others, some of you have to be taught how to what? How not to spend 100% on yourself. Now, because, praise the Lord. So now this, for it is written, no, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? No, it's concerned about us. And you see now some of you think that, let me tell you something, let me end with this story. Let me tell you something. Sometimes if you break this rule, it affects your finances. Of course, if you also don't give, it affects your finances. But sometimes if you break this rule, it affects your finances. Because it's the devil who uses poor people, apparently, to give people wealth. So people go in a kasisi to become rich. That's not how God works. The person who is giving blessing has to first be blessed. Now, there somebody, you find somebody with torn clothes, but actually can work things there and somebody becomes something. But they are living a miserable life. And that's how some people want servants of God to be, like that. So they get angry when you see a servant of God, okay, and what? That's witchcraft. Here, God wants his servants to be okay, and then they also make other people okay. Praise the Lord. Remember what told Abraham? I will bless you and I will make you a blessing to others. First, I do what? First, I bless you. Then after I've blessed you, then you will be a blessing to what? Others. Praise the Lord. Now that is the style of God. Not the style of the devil. Praise the Lord. Huh. Are you ready for wealth? Are you really ready? Are you ready for covenant wealth? Let me tell you something. There are people whom I know here in this city, whom I know personally. They sacrifice their firstborn child to get wealth. And the wealth they get is fleeting. It vanishes. People do things for these things. But now you come to the church, something as simple as what Jacob said, I will serve you and I will give you a tithe. Somebody says, but the tithe now, you know? And you want wealth, you will not get it. You have to be, when you make a vow before God, I know you rush because you are thinking about wealth. But now when you say, make the vow, God does not forget it. And he says, where they say that when you make a rush, but do not hurry to fulfill, because the Lord does not delight in fools. In Ecclesiastes somewhere, he says, God does not delight in fools. Because it's fools as far as, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart add anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Go ahead. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. he does not take pleasure in fools. Okay, I finished preaching. Please don't vow from here. Go and think about it. Don't make any vow from here. Go and think about it. Properly. Better to start small than to say, I'll give you 90%. Then the time comes and you're like, I think I made a mistake. Then God says, look at this fool. Praise the Lord. So take your time. You know where you are. Just stand up and pray in tongues, everybody. Oh,
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon each and everyone. In the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon each and everyone. What's your name? What do you do?
I'm a security supervisor in the bank.
Are you born again?
Yes, I'm born again.
Because there is a blessing which God is releasing for you.
Amen.
And a promotion.
Amen.
A promotion. And what does your wife want?
No, I'm not yet married.
But this
courtship, yes.
Huh? Courtship. What does she do?
She works in the pharmacy.
In the pharmacy? Because I'm seeing it also is kind of extending to her this blessing. What's your name?
Opok Daniel.
I'm seeing as if there was a controversy there where you work over something which happened, and like it was shaking you a bit, like because I'm hearing that controversy will work for the better for you, whereas it looked like it would be maybe something that shakes you. It works for something good. Are you a policeman?
No, I am not.
You're not a policeman.
Yeah, I'm not a person.
I see you're nervous, but don't be. Just relax. You'll see it, something wonderful coming, like a promotion. I know there are other things you're thinking about, but don't think about those. Just think about what God is doing for you. Growth and promotion, promotion in your company, promotion and bigger responsibilities. When it happens, you know that the Lord spoke. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because I speak a blessing upon each and every person in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, and an opening. I just want you to what's your name? Something is about to open for you, which you've been expecting. Now I speak a quickening in the name of Jesus. A quickening in your life in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Because you. Because you have a faithful spirit. You're somebody who, who tends to stick to their word. Now, God is doing something wonderful in your life, which you've been expecting, and that you, because you are faithful, the scripture says, to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. Eh? So receive it. Eh? Jesus' name. So everybody just lift up your hands and say, I am rich. Say it again. Say it again. Say, I'm blessed. How many people believe they are blessed? Yeah? Say, I'm blessed. Say, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Okay. You may put down your hands. You may even be seated. Now, on Thursday, we had last night, we had a very wonderful prayer. We start from 6 to 10, and we do serious meditation class from 6 to 10. So, and I'm glad that so many of you attended on Thursday, and I expect more people to attend serious meditation. Of course, also we had a few, you know, fake people. But that always happens. There are people who always want to hear what you're praying for, like in the form of trying to spy. There's nothing to spy there, because my private prayers, I pray them private. So unless you know, so people come. I saw people whom I saw, and you know, they are trying to see what is it they are praying about. We are praying about being rich. We are talking about wealth. Amen? And we are learning how to meditate on wealth. This year we are not remaining like broke. We are banishing brokenness this year 100%. For everybody, brokenness is not going to be permitted here. Amen? That's what we are doing. That's what we are meditating. From 6 to 10 every Thursday. 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. every Thursday. That's what we do. So, it was wonderful last night, by the way. And those who attended can attest to the fact that it was wonderful. Wasn't it? You didn't attend. Eh? You what? Eh? I didn't expect you. I'm joking. Eh? Wasn't it wonderful, Robert? Yeah? So now, next Thursday, by the way, I'm serious. I really want us to meditate on this word thing. Eh? Seriously, want us to meditate on it. And sometimes you have to keep on reminding people, pumping it in people, so that it becomes a part of their lifestyle. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And by the way, on Monday, we have partnership. Also, there we are talking about words. Eh? We are talking about wealth. Praise the Lord. Some things we shall complete there. So, Monday also, partnership. If you can, if you're a partner, that's it. Thursday, free for all. Partner, no partner, come, we pray. It's just prayer. Some of you, that's the only 4 hours you will pray in the week. So, do yourself a favor. God bless you.
That was the Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.